Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Conscience Point is a new PBS documentary that follows members of the Native American Shinnecock Nation. It's right here on Long Island, in the Hamptons, no less, and their decades-long fight to reclaim and protect lands that have been lost to luxury development for the wealthy. It's premiering next Monday during this American Indian Heritage Month. And here to discuss our director and producer, Trevor Wormfeld, and Shinnecock member, Shane Weeks. Trevor and Shane, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And let's start with a short clip from the film. This is Indian American movement advocate Rebecca Hill, Genia, 14 seconds.
Some people say, you know, well, my family's been here for 4, 5, 6 generations. Well, we've been here 400 generations plus. As far as land was, it was just a total different way of thinking.
And we'll come back to who Rebecca is later. But Shane, for listeners who don't know, give a very brief history. How would you start to introduce the Shinnecock and the land and territory that you're fighting for and still attached to here in our area?
Well, first, Akwena Tampeog, Bijakina Bawit, Nadasawis, Bijakian Dodem, Asinakognawache, Medewa Wininu. Hello, my friends. My name is Standing Buffalo. I'm of the Buffalo Clan. I'm a Shinnecock man and a Medewan man. I reside on the Shinnecock Nation, which is roughly a little under 1,000 acres out in Southampton, New York. And our traditional territory encompassed all of Southampton Town. In fact, when the town was created, the borders, they decided that they were going to take our boundaries as Shinnecock people. Shinnecock, we were once part of a larger, I guess you could call it a confederacy, of tribes all along Long Island. And eventually, we are now on our 1,000-acre reservation.
And as a Shinnecock member says in the film, Trevor, the land disputes between Shinnecock and settlers go back 1,000 years. How did the vast territory once inhabited by the Shinnecock shrink to what it is today?
It was actually 10,000 years.
Oh, 10,000
yeah.
years. Sorry, I left
That's
out a zero.
No worries. I mean, the settlers from England arrived in 1640, and they arrived actually at a point of land called Conscience Point, hence the title of the film. And from that point on, the Shinnecock had a pretty fraught relationship with the settlers. They were certainly treated very respectfully when they arrived by the Shinnecock, and they were given about 8 square miles, which turned into Southampton Town Village. And over the course of the next 380 years, their land was whittled down to what it is today. At first, there was a 1,000-year lease, which Shane can speak to more appropriately, but in, I believe it was 1703, the Shinnecock were given a 1,000-year lease by the settlers, which was slowly whittled away. And in 1859, what they call the robber barons, the Long Island Railroad folks, wanted to create a railroad from Manhattan out to Montauk. And it was over the course of that effort to construct the railroad that they lost their 1,000 acres, and their lease was not upheld, and the land was stolen. I mean, there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The land was completely stolen from them.
Violated the terms of a lease that would have been was supposed to be in effect.
Yeah, and there was a fraudulent document where supposedly 20 Shinnecock members signed away the land. Ten of those signatures were not Shinnecock in actuality, and 10 of them were dead. So,
do you want to continue on that, Shane?
Yeah, I'll let Shane.
Sure. So, to go a little bit further before that happened, before the 1703 deed, as I said, we were part of a larger confederacy, right? So, traditionally, we didn't believe that we could own land. And we also didn't really consider ourselves separate tribes as you would consider separate nations, right, today. So, yes, we all had sachems or chiefs, that's our word for chief, amongst the 13 tribes. There were 13 supposed tribes on Long Island. And there was one head of the tribe during the maiden part of colonization when the settlers came, named Wyandanch, who was the chief of the Montaukets out in East Hampton. And he oversaw the rest of the tribes, or the rest of the sachems on Long Island. As time progressed, the settlers, they didn't want to have to go through just one person to speak for everybody. So what they did was they decided to kind of speak to individual sachems of their lands, making it easier for them to create these land transactions, whether legal or illegal.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly that. So by the time the 1703 deed came around, that treaty, that transaction, the last sachem, who we say Sunksqua, which is a woman chief, didn't really, not a file as you would in court today, but she made a fight for land that was taken by the Dutch and the English that they did not pay for. That was in the 1660s, 1662, when that happened. And after that, there was a long battle to 1686 until that was kind of resolved. And, of course, it didn't go in our favor. And after that is when the 1703 treaty came about for the Shinnecock Hills.
Was this all because of military might? That is, the Shinnecock and the other tribes didn't have the wherewithal to fight the settlers, so you had to enter into these lease agreements, to be sort of one down on land that really they were coming to that was yours?
I think part of it is absolutely the fact that during those times, there were a limited amount of Shinnecock people or Native people in general that could even read English, let alone speak English or understand what was going on. Two is that it was documented that Wyandanch didn't want to fight the settlers because of what happened to the Pequots during the Pequot War, where, you know, most of their people were massacred during that time. So there was a sort of hesitance to want to retaliate against them.
So there your tribe is in the Hamptons, in the middle of so much wealth. Still 60% of the people, from the stats I see, live below the poverty line. Let me play a clip of town supervisor of Southampton, Jay Schneiderman, speaking to what's happening to the community.
The high cost of land complicates a lot of things out here, and it acts as a filter. So a lot of people who maybe third, fourth, fifth generation kind of grew up out here, they see the cost of living go up, but their property values are going through the roof, their taxes are going higher and higher. They end up selling those houses, and then that house will become probably a second home.
So Trevor, to what degree is your film documenting two different worlds existing in the town of Southampton, so different from one another in terms of the fortunes that they can draw on?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's more than two in a way. I tried to peel the layers one at a time, and I found that, you know, obviously the Shinnecock were the first to have their land taken and be turned into the working class, but when you look at the Hamptons today, you see a wider spectrum of people who are struggling, and it's certainly not just the Shinnecock at this point that are facing the consequences of all the overdevelopment and class struggle. Obviously, the Latino community is gigantic out there now. The demand for labor keeps people coming out for work, and the impact of the overdevelopment on the fishing and farming communities has been pretty substantial. So I tried in the film to, in a, you know, in addition to the Shinnecock story, which it was certainly the focus, show how the overdevelopment over the last 100 years really has impacted all layers of the community out there. And at this point, really, the farmers and baymen are struggling. People who have been, you know, part of families dating back to those first settlers are no longer able to stay in their family homes. They're leaving. One of the baymen that I filmed, Chip Moran, has left after, you know, his family has been in the area for 11 generations, can't afford to make a living off the sea anymore. And as Jay Schneiderman said in that clip, you know, obviously the property taxes continue to go up and up and up. And so people who are on fixed incomes, you know, elders in the community can't afford to stay either. So it's really affecting a lot of people.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the new PBS documentary Conscience Point, which follows the Shinnecock Nation in the Hamptons and their land efforts or their efforts to reclaim land in the area. My guests are the director and producer of the film, Trevor Wormfeld, and Shinnecock member, Shane Weeks. We might be able to sneak in a question or two before we run out of time. Anybody on Long Island want to weigh in on this or ask a question? 212-433-WNYC, Shinnecock or other, 212-433-9692. So, Shane, I see the town of Southampton says it's been trying to work with the Shinnecock Nation in various ways on mutually beneficial arrangements that protect the land and allow for development. Characterize those efforts from your point of view. What's the actual, you know, news here in terms of what the state of what you're asking for, any negotiations ongoing are today?
Well, today, just recently, just in, within the past year, after a long battle that this film documents, and predating this generation, we've been able to have the town create a joint Shinnecock Nation and Southampton Town Cultural Heritage Stewardship Committee. And what that committee does, which I'm a part of along with Rebecca, we try to preserve areas that are culturally sensitive to Shinnecock. And working with the Cultural Preservation Fund, CPF, out in Southampton, to try and buy and preserve those lands that are culturally sensitive to Shinnecock. And as I said, you know, this is a very new thing for Southampton and Shinnecock, and it's taken a long time for our words to be listened to and acted on.
And Trevor, he referred to Rebecca, and the film is mostly the story is told through the eyes of American Indian Movement advocate, excuse me, Rebecca Hill Genia. What's her story, very briefly?
Briefly, she grew up in the area, raised on Shinnecock, and when she was 17, she joined the American Indian Movement and really absorbed a lot of the activist principles from the leaders of that movement and came back and for decades now has been fighting to both preserve land, protect and, you know, ancestral grave sites, and also think about the environment and the struggles that her own community faces on the reservation. And in her eyes, it's all very much connected. And so the film, you know, takes a very holistic look at how all these issues relate to each other, how the history of oppression affects how they continue to feel oppressed, and how that then you know, results in a lot of struggles that they face on a day-to-day basis.
Let me sneak in one phone call before we run out of time. Aviva in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Aviva, real quick.
Hi, thank you. My question is about the land acknowledgments that I often hear at conferences and other events when the speaker begins by saying, I want to acknowledge I'm on Shinnecock or Lenape or whatever land. Mm-hmm. And then they go on with the conference, and it sounds to me like, well, you were here, and now we're here.
Hmm. Do you know about the land acknowledgments, Shane, and do you have a quick reaction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've done quite a few land acknowledgments between Manhattan and Montauk. And I think that the appropriate way to go about land acknowledgments is to invite somebody from the territory that you're on. That way people understand that we are still here as indigenous people of this land, and that we can continue to voice our own opinion and our own voices as to who we are and where you are.
That is going to have to be the last word in this segment, probably appropriately so, where we are and where you are. Conscience Point premieres on PBS's Independent Lens next Monday, November 18th at 10:30 p.m. You can stream the film as well at pbs.org or on the PBS video app. My guests have been director and producer Trevor Wormfeld and member of the Shinnecock Nation and cultural consultant Shane Weeks. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.